Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on, quarantine friends? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5. The Fanatic, Tyler Zuli, producing this evening's program as we hang out together until 10 o'clock. Right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. A lot of stuff to talk about today, but I've got to admit that I had to call a little bit of an audible at this point, because I was hoping, you know, kind of like the Jadeveon Clowney thing, I was hoping that the Robbie Anderson situation actually wouldn't rectify itself by the draft. I was hoping that, you know how Jadeveon Clowney is reportedly asking for like $20 million per season over multiple seasons? I was hoping that Robbie Anderson's contract demands were such that things would not progress at all for like the next month as we approach the draft. Alas, unfortunately, it was not meant to be. And instead, Robbie Anderson heads to Carolina to reunite with Matt Rhule on a two-year deal, $20 million. Pretty much exactly, by the way, what the reports were that he was asking for, $10 million per season. Did I want Robbie Anderson? Maybe. I like Robbie Anderson a little bit as a player. I mean, when you look at what he and, by extension, by the way, Sam Darnold have dealt with in terms of the total mismanagement and the absolute dreck that the Jets have put on the field recently, it's easy to see how you could think that that guy in a different situation, in a better situation with a better team, better coach, etc., would help things out and he could become more of a contributing piece. Now, I'm more mad at it because I'm concerned that the Eagles, in some respect, have painted themselves into a corner this offseason. For several reasons. But the main reason that hits me at this point is that at this point, the Eagles are pretty much telegraphing what's up with the Eagles with respect to the NFL draft. You look at what the Eagles have done in free agency, I actually like a lot of what they've done. I like the fact that they signed Hargrave. I like the fact that they made a trade for Darius Slay, rather. I think that there are lots of things that you could point to this offseason, even missing out on the DeAndre Hopkins trade, which, as far as I'm concerned, still an unforgivable offense. But the problem is now that there's no more mystery left. There are too few cards in the deck the rest of the way that the rest of the league knows what direction the Eagles are going to go. Because the only unacceptable situation now for the Philadelphia Eagles would be to begin this season with the wide receivers that they have. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside playing a big role. Greg Ward being a starter from day one. Alshon Jeffrey coming back out there. And who knows, perhaps, what you'd get from DeSean Jackson. Hopefully it's all good. But there's no clear indicator for, you know, what the Eagles' plan would be at wide receiver. And this is why, when I look at this, and I look at the way that the draft is now going to shake up, we run the risk of watching the Eagles be made fools of. For a couple of reasons. Do you remember how we laughed at Chip Kelly? Now, he tried to pin the blame on Howie Roseman, and I would argue vice versa over the Marcus Smith pick. But do you remember why it was such a ridiculous proposition and why the Eagles kind of got caught with their pants down in that draft? It's because in the first round with the Eagles, when you look at what the Eagles' plan was, you're going to laugh in hindsight, right? Because they've won the Super Bowl since then. But let's just look at this. In the 2014 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles did not have a top five pick, didn't have a top 10 pick, didn't have anything like that. No, instead, the Philadelphia Eagles had the 22nd pick in the draft. Logic would dictate, Tyler Zuli watches a lot of college football. He's a little bit of a draft nick, just like me, right? You would think that if you were in the business of making player personnel decisions, your job's fairly simple in the first round, if you're not going to consider trading up or trading down. If I am picking 22, I have to rank 22 or 23 players, right? Like, that's the way that it would go. It's not that difficult. The Chip Kelly draft board was three players long at 22. And if the Eagles didn't get Odell Beckham or Brandon Cooks or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Chip Kelly was like, I don't know what we're doing then. Those guys will probably be there. It'll be fine. Odell Beckham Jr. goes 12 to the New York Giants. Still not a disaster. Right? You're seeing a lot of guys who are risers. Ryan Shazier made himself a lot of money in the first round, moving up from probably the late teens, early 20s to 15. Zach Martin, a guard drafted in the top 16. Right, everything's going okay. Then bang, number 20. The Saints trade up to get Brandon Cooks. Bang, 21. Ha-ha Clinton Dix goes. And then all of a sudden, the Philadelphia Eagles are bailing out of pick number 22 to trade back four picks later and say, I don't know, I guess we'll take Marcus Smith. It was a fiasco. It was a disaster. It's because you didn't have a plan, and it's because you were super predictable with what you wanted to do. Teams knew where you needed to go in order to get pieces that the Eagles wanted. If you remember, during the Andre Dillard draft, remember all of the backflips that everyone was doing because it was so clear and so telegraphed that the Houston Texans desperately wanted an offensive lineman? And everyone's like, Howie got him again. Oh, man. If only Houston had done some kind of smokescreen or something like that that would have stopped Howie Roseman from reading him like a book and saying, this is so clearly the way that the Texans are going to go. Get the guy that you want, Andre Dillard. You knew that if you wanted him, that was the spot to get to. You got there, and then you move on. What does this have to do with this? I'm not sure how much more clearly the Philadelphia Eagles could telegraph that a wide receiver will be their first round selection in this year's draft. And this can hurt in a couple of different ways. Now, I saw Mel Kiper Jr.'s first mock draft since the combine, right? I don't agree with it. But let's just go with it to look at it and evaluate its merits. Okay? So we're looking. Obviously, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to go with Joe Burrow at the top. By all accounts, it seems as though Chase Young is going to be the second selection, right? And it has the Eagles landing a wide receiver. And a good one, by the way. Has the Eagles landing Justin Jefferson from LSU at pick 21. That would work out really well, actually. Here's the issue. There are a lot of players here in the top five, top six, top seven that I don't anticipate being the selections. For example, Los Angeles Chargers at 6, Justin Herbert. I have to admit, I don't see that yet. I don't see him, 3 quarterbacks going in the top 6. Could be wrong. Doesn't that seem like that would be a good spot for a wide receiver? You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. They need defensive line replacements. Yes, they do. But doesn't it seem like Jacksonville needs everything? And maybe that's a spot trading back would make sense. You know, number 9 seems like a good wide receiver spot. Here's what I'm saying. Mel Kiper Jr. has the first wide receiver. Wide receiver number 1 in the entire draft going at number 13 to the San Francisco 49ers by way of the Indianapolis Colts. Fact check me, record this show, clip this segment, record it with your phone, whatever you have to do. There is no way in a wide receiver draft such as this that the first wide receiver selection is at number 13. There is no prayer in the world, in a world where Kevin White was drafted in the top 10. In a world where A.J. Green and Julio Jones went like right next to each other in the top 10. Now, those guys are really good. But so are these guys. There's no logic in saying, oh, it's so good that you can wait. Since when have we seen that GMs can help themselves? My point is, there's a great chance that there is at least a mini run by pick 12, where maybe 2, possibly 3 of these guys are out the window. And whoever it is that the Eagles have identified, whether it's Henry Ruggs or Justin Jefferson or C.D. Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, or some people want to slide in a 5th wide receiver in the first round, who knows? Maybe that'll happen if there is a run. My point is that the Eagles are in between a rock and a hard place for a couple of reasons. First, if there are 3 wide receivers off the board by pick number 12 or 13, that means that teams know that the Eagles, quote unquote, have to get one of these guys. And therefore, the price and the cost of doing business goes through the roof. The other thing is, like the Houston Texans just a couple of drafts before, you know that the Eagles are a team that you have to beat in the event that, God forbid, Jerry Jeudy slides or Henry Ruggs slides or one of these guys is heading back ever so close to pick number 20, 21, you know that that's the spot that you've got to get to. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable with trading up in a draft now that has a lot of wide receiver prospects. I don't like it. But I do believe that there are GMs that really do like this wide receiver class and like individual wide receivers to the point where they are game breakers. And in an offseason where Howie Roseman has not sent out even the smallest puff of smoke, whether it's Robbie Anderson or Emmanuel Sanders or literally any free agent wide receiver walking the streets, or man, the big swing, DeAndre Hopkins. You talk about a smokescreen. That's it. You trade for DeAndre Hopkins, cost you a 2nd-round pick. And I feel like this, by the way, this deal seems to be misconstrued. From my understanding of what I've read from people who are familiar with the deal, it was almost 2 separate deals. Houston takes on David Johnson's salary in exchange for a 4th-round pick swap. And it's DeAndre Hopkins for a 2. And you have to make him the highest paid receiver in the NFL, probably. All right. I'm exploring that if I'm the Eagles. And if I do take DeAndre Hopkins and it costs me a 2nd-round pick, I am still not sure that stops me from taking a wide receiver in the first round at 21. If it's the right guy, you got to remake your core. Instead, now, it seems to me that things are so telegraphed that this draft could be one where the Eagles get taken for a ride instead of being the conductors, instead of driving the train. And I do believe that that is a position with which Howie Roseman has very little familiarity. He's used to being in command. He's used to having things break the way that he'd want them to break. But right now, just not sure. If you'd sign DeMarcus Robinson, right? Isn't that a perfect guy that you think, oh, okay, the Eagles needed a speed guy. They got their speed guy. Didn't cost a whole lot. Maybe they're done. Maybe they believe that Alshon Jeffery's healthy and you've got DeSean Jackson and they like the progression of Greg Ward. Have idiots out there convincing themselves that the Eagles like what they have at wide receiver. But right now, it is so ridiculously apparent that, yeah, the Eagles are going to be in the market for a wide receiver in the first round, that the worst thing that you can do in the NFL is let everybody know what you're doing. Eagles might as well have a massive neon blinking sign that says exactly what their draft day plans are. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Do you agree? Is this an overreaction? Do you still like the way that Howie Roseman has handled the offseason? Or now that Robbie Anderson, another one of those top targets, is off the board, DeAndre Hopkins has already changed teams, are you concerned that it's become a little bit too clear to teams that the Eagles will be moving in the wide receiver direction when it comes to the draft? Let's go to Jay in Roxborough to lead things off on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Jay?
Hey.
Jay, you with us? Hello. Hi.
Okay. You here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was just listening to what you were saying. I'm trying to understand where you're going with this, but, you know, it doesn't really matter what other teams think that you're going to do. I mean, it's never a smokescreen. You're not trying to put anything over another team. You're trying to build your own team up. You can care less about what other people are thinking around you. You know, everybody knows what the Cincinnati Bengals are going to do with their first pick. You know, so I don't know what you're saying in terms of, like, you know, the Eagles are showing their hand.
Okay, so why did the Eagles trade up in front of Houston to get Dillard? Why that team? Why that spot?
Because they needed a lineman.
Right. Yeah, but why not wait?
Because the thing is, you can't wait because you don't know if that person is going to be there.
That's exactly right. And the way that you'd know is if you know what other teams are thinking. Like, everyone knew that Houston was going to take a lineman. That's exactly what I'm saying, Jay.
Okay, so even if we... let me say this. Even if the other teams know that you're going to take a lineman, they're not just going to take a lineman just to make the Eagles mad. You know, that would be stupid on another team's part. You know, so the Eagles... just to assure themselves, because the Eagles don't know exactly what somebody else wanted in terms of Dillard, you know, because everybody in the league could use an offensive lineman. So that's one of those things. Now, if it were, let's take Dillard out of it. Let's put like a big time receiver in there.
Okay.
If you know there's a team in front, teams in front of you that already have big time wide receivers, well, you know that it's less likely that they're going to want to get a receiver with that pick. So, but with offensive linemen, you don't know what a team's thinking in terms of an offensive lineman.
Well, I mean, the Falcons took Calvin Ridley, right? I mean, and it seemed like they totally didn't need Calvin Ridley at all.
But I'm just saying, it's different from wide receiver and offensive lineman is different. You know, they're not the same. It's not the same kind of thing because, like I said, everybody can use offensive linemen. So, you know, but that's even with that, that's just really one example. I mean, just to get on Howie a little bit, you know, I think Howie kind of gets a bad rap because this guy understands how football works today. You're only getting basically 4 years out of a guy. So even if you get DeAndre Hopkins, at maximum, you're going to get about 3 years out from him. If you draft a wide receiver, you're really only going to get four years out of them if they're great, because by the third year, if they know that they're great and the world knows that they're great, guess what they're going to do? They're going to hold out and they're going to ask for more money. So really, these players nowadays, you only have 4 years with them. So
sure,
everybody makes a big deal about the draft. But the fact, I'll give you another example, Miles Sanders.
Okay.
You wait and see what happens to him in year 2021. If that guy's in the top five in statistics among running backs, you better believe that we're either going to lose him or he's going to hold out or be franchised.
Yeah, but I mean, Jay, that example is like
Howie smart.
Well, that example is that. Well, I don't agree, Jay. Thanks for the phone call. He might be a smart guy, but he hasn't managed this well. Running back's an awful example because a running back's never going to get paid again. Like, you look at what the Jets have gotten from Le'Veon Bell. You look at what happened with Todd Gurley. You look at pretty much every big bell cow running back deal. None of them have worked out for the teams. You point to Ezekiel Elliott. All right, they still haven't worked out a deal for their quarterback, and that's partially because they paid Ezekiel Elliott. Like, when Saquon Barkley, for the record, I have said it before, I'll say it again, Saquon Barkley's not getting the mega deal from me if I'm running the Giants. It's just not going to happen. Whoever you want to throw out there, Christian McCaffrey, there's no running back now. After I see Todd Gurley go up in smoke, there's nothing. There's no one that I can commit to at running back for long-term and big money. That's just insane. Now, here's another example. If lineman and receiver are different, okay. The reason why it's important to hide what you're doing is say that you're the Packers and you're picking at 30. And the Packers really want a wide receiver. The Packers know that they've got to get to at least 20 if they're going to trade up and there are three wide receivers gone and the last one that they want is there. They know that the Eagles will take a wide receiver. So you know that you've got to get past the Eagles there. It's too much information. It's too much knowledge for these other teams to have. That's what my issue is, and that's what my problem is with all of it. Because, by the way, needs, quote-unquote, we never know. There's not a soul on the planet that was like, oh, you know what? The Falcons' strategy is probably going to be to draft Calvin Ridley to pair him with Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. Right? Because everybody knows that you need a 1-2-3 punch at wide receiver, and the three should probably be a high draft pick. Nobody thought that. There are people that look at wide receiving needs all over the place, and they're like, oh, they don't have a starting wide receiver, or they don't have two starting wide receivers. We don't know who. Is it out of the realm of possibility that the Patriots want to get in on one of these guys? Is it outside the realm of possibility that Arizona is continuing to load up and wants to get another piece for Kyler Murray? Like, I think that you look all over the place. If the wide receivers are that good, why in the world would we think that one's just going to sit and fall back into our laps? That seems like wishful thinking of the highest order. 610-632-0975. We're going to lead off with Mike, and then we have wide open phone lines. It can be you. Have the Eagles telegraphed their business too much heading into the draft? Should they have signed other wide receivers in free agency? It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Lots of good response on Twitter. We're going to get to that and as well. People on the phone, 610-632-0975. Let's get to Mike in Lehigh Valley to lead things off here at 628. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? How's your night?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Good.
So, I agree with you, but I disagree with you.
Okay.
Now, I don't think there's going to be a wide receiver taken until about the 11th pick. And that's where I see a good run going. You start off with the Jets, the Raiders, and then you got the 49ers and Broncos going there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I agree, you don't want to telegraph, you know, you don't want to go in the draft with a major need there. So I do agree on that point. But you could possibly get up there. There's teams that are openly willing to trade out, like the Browns. And you have a great relationship right there with the Browns. You could trade up right there and say take a Jerry Jeudy, a CeeDee Lamb, or you wait a little bit and trade up to the 15th pick and take a Henry Ruggs. What do you think about there?
Well, so I think that you're right that there are trades that you could make, and that's kind of what I'm laying out here, actually, Mike, is that you've painted yourself into the corner by not addressing this, that you almost have to trade up if you're going to make a first-round wide-receiving choice. My problem is that there are probably other teams that are interested in those, like, for example, San Francisco's at 13, right? Like, are they going to move up to get a guy that you want? Like, are the Browns in position where they don't need a wide receiver? Like Jacksonville, I talked about trading back. Is that a spot where somebody could trade up to get a wide receiver that they wanted, like CeeDee Lamb? There are just too many variables now when you look at like the teams that have needs for me to feel really comfortable that the Eagles are going to get somebody that they really like at that position.
Absolutely. And I first maybe day or so of the open note negotiation period, I was kind of against Howie. I was, you know, what is this guy doing? Is he going to make any moves? And
mm-hmm.
Slowly he was building that defense, and I'm starting to like the moves. And I do think he's walking around pretty confident, and I do think he's pretty confident going into the draft. So I am going to trust him.
Okay.
Before we head in there. Now, I do have one more question. Now, with the DeAndre Hopkins, this is the only – I am with you 100%. We should have made that trade. It's hard to come by with a top elite wide receiver. He's about a top three wide receiver. He'd easily be the best wide receiver in our division. So you can't pass on somebody like that. Now, the only way I do forgive him is if we trade for Yannick in Jacksonville. Now, I don't think it's going to take a first. I think Jacksonville's options to trade him are dwindling down. I think Clowney is going to go back to Seattle, and then it's going to be, what, between us and the Jets? The Jets have some trade assets and they have the money that scares me, but it's how they can get it done without trading this year's first. I do forgive him.
Well, yeah, Mike, I would too. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I would absolutely forgive Howie if this year's first were not in play for Ngakoue. I do happen to think that that's going to be the asking price because, I mean, truth be told, Jacksonville doesn't have to trade him. You know, they have some other options. You just let it play out. You try to see if you can make changes that would cause them to want to re-up. Like, there are a lot of things that they could do and explore. You know, teams that have needs on the edge. Buffalo's one. Arizona's another. Dallas is another. I know that they're not teams that have a ton of money, but you know, just thinking about it off the top of my head, like, those are teams that I would think have needs in terms of pass rushers. Look, my problem is that I can't get comfortable with where the Eagles would need to get to when at 12, you know, you talk about where the runs are. The Raiders would like a wide receiver. 13, I am certain that the 49ers would like a wide receiver. Now at 11, the Jets like a wide receiver. My point is that it's a lot easier for those teams to get up, you know, into the 7, 8, 9 range where I see the run starting. I don't see it starting at 11. And that's where I'm concerned. And it's a bigger jump for the Eagles in particular, having already traded some of their 10 draft picks this offseason to get from 21. Like, if they could get to 13, that's an easier ask, but that's still going to be a lot depending on who the player is versus going from 10 or 11 to 7, 8, 9. Like, that's not that big of a jump. Not even counting the teams coming from the back where Seattle's always interested in jumping up and grabbing guys. Green Bay could potentially, because of how they value the draft, be looking in that same arena as well. That's why I'm not comfortable. I'm really, really not comfortable with the fact that it's so glaring and so apparent that wide receiver is going to be the way that things go for the Eagles. And I'm not saying that they'll just take anybody just to take him. I'm saying that if, God forbid, three guys are gone, and let's say it's Jefferson as the last one standing,
I kind of like Jefferson at 21. I kind of like Jefferson at 18. I am not positive that I'm in love with the guy if you have to go up to number 12 or 13 to get him. I am not sure about that. Tyler, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
The best thing that could happen to the Eagles in terms of drafting a wide receiver in the first round is that a run does happen, but it's a run of another position. If offensive line begins to make a run, that helps the Eagles tremendously because there are teams that do need receiver, like you mentioned. If Jacksonville takes a lineman, that's huge. If the Giants don't take a lineman at 4, that's also huge because that's a team that could hurt people's defensive draft stock.
Right.
Or help another team take a defensive player if a lineman were selected at 4. So it's like the first 5 picks, you need a lineman not to go. And then from 5 to wherever you feel like you need to get, that's where the run needs to happen.
Right. So let's talk about Mel Kiper's draft here to see what we agree with. Joe Burrow at 1. I'm not sure that it's Cincinnati. Like,
it may not be, but he is the number one pick.
He's definitely the number one. If I'm Miami, I'm not taking my chances with Tua. I've got all these first round picks. I'm going to do what I can. I've spent all this money.
I like Tua.
I do too.
If he falls to you at 6, that's a great spot. I'm not convinced that even at 6, that's enough to get the pick in.
Okay.
I think they still would have to move. Because I'm not convinced Detroit doesn't take Tua if he's there at 3.
Because Miami's at 5, right?
5, I'm sorry. Okay, so the Chargers have 6, Miami has 5.
Right.
And I've been saying this for the last 2 weeks, the Giants are the ultimate wild card in this draft. They hold all the capital.
Well, so they're in position, depending on what happens. They're going to have the ability to get either the top corner or the top defensive athlete in the draft. Unbelievable draft capital. Like, that's really, really good.
Well, and the thing is, too, with them, even if it runs as is projected as in terms of the power rankings or whatever you want to call them, Burrow 1, Chase Young 2, Jeff Okuda 3.
Yes.
Even if that's the case and they're not in love with Simmons at 4, I would bet you there's going to be a team that is willing to trade up past the Dolphins and the Chargers to take a look at Tua at 4.
Okay. I would buy that. I would actually even buy that the Chargers might want to just get in front of Miami.
Jump the Dolphins?
To have their choice, right? Then they have at 5 and 6, Tua and Herbert. You and I are kind of in agreement, I think, about Herbert.
I don't think that Herbert's the pick there.
Neither do I.
I think a quarterback is the pick there. I don't think it's Herbert.
Okay.
I think Jordan Love is going to the Chargers.
Okay, so Jordan, that would be fantastic.
I think they like him a lot. If Taylor's going to be their guy, that's a perfect leap year.
If wide receivers get pushed down because of quarterbacks, you want as many quarterbacks to go in front of you as you possibly can. Derek Brown, defensive tackle from Auburn to the Panthers. It's not bad. I could tolerate that.
He's funny, man, because I think he's good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take him as the top defensive tackle.
I don't think I would either.
I would 1,000,000% go Kinlaw before I went Derek Brown.
Yeah, they got him going 2 picks later to Jacksonville. Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle from Iowa. That's your boy.
Yeah, he's the best tackle in the draft.
And then at 10, it's Mekhi Becton, offensive tackle from Louisville. He will not go 10th. I don't think that that's true. I would anticipate that he would
early
go in the teens. I think he'd slide a little bit. I still think that Georgia's got Thomas. I think that he has some... I think he's undervalued by draft nicks because we've heard for a long time that he's one of the top offensive tackles. Teams don't forget their early scouting.
Well, at the beginning of the year, I would have put money on him being the top 2 pick.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another guy from Alabama, Jedrick Wills Jr. At 11 to the Jets. C.J. Henderson. I don't see the Raiders going corner at 12. I absolutely 100. If you're going to invest in the offensive side of the ball and you're going to let Marcus Mariota and Derek Carr battle it out to see who's going to be the starter, that's almost certainly a wide receiver.
Well, and not only that, but oftentimes when you open a new stadium, especially a new stadium in a new city,
mm-hmm.
you want the enticing, flashy pick to be your first round guy.
And that's it. If the San Francisco I would throw my phone across the room if the San Francisco 49ers got Jerry Jeudy at 13 with the Colts pick. Like, I thought that the 49ers were so clearly the best team in the NFL last year that for them to get like the one guy that they would need, that would make me very unhappy.
And only cost you a defensive tackle on which is might be your strongest part of your team is your defensive line?
Just sickening.
Yeah, you'd be okay.
And then Andrew Thomas to Georgia at 14. Henry Ruggs, the third wide receiver at Alabama at 15. Like, that's the way that the top 15 goes. That's two wide receivers in the top 15. Do you think that that's light too, or am I overreacting?
No, I think all three of those guys will be gone by 15. Now, Ruggs might be the third guy at 15.
Yeah.
But I think if it's one of those, you know, that old saying, like, if he's there at 15, he's not there at 16.
Uh-huh,
yeah. Because we're taking him.
Yeah.
I think that'd be the case. If there's a receiver still there at 15, he'll probably be the pick.
And then at 17, they have the Cowboys taking CeeDee Lamb. So
that's a slide.
That's a big time. That's what I'm saying. Is CeeDee Lamb really going to go 17th? I don't.
Poor guy's going to have to sit in the green room a long time.
Yeah, I just look. I am as wary of Big 12 offensive numbers as it is humanly possible to be. I am aware that for every Josh Gordon, there's a Corey Coleman. Like I am intimately aware of the Big 12. And how it's tough to count on Big 12 numbers when it comes to projecting wide receivers. But CeeDee Lamb passes the eye test to the point where that dude is a top 10 pick. Just saying. We're going to get to some of these tweets as well. 610-632-0975. Also, a couple of things in the world of sports. One pretty seismic, massive news that has come out recently. And also wanted to... provide some advice. People are always looking for what to do during quarantine. What should I be watching? What should I be doing? I tweeted about this earlier, but there's something that if you've been missing out on this, you should definitely address that weakness in your game. It is the Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Joe Torty Show, 97.5. The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli is producing this evening's program. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock. Good reaction on the tweets as well for this regarding the Eagles. And could they possibly still take someone other than wide receiver? Or is it glaringly obvious that that's the position that they'll be addressing in the first round of the draft? And by the way, Tyler, we've been talking about this off the air, but I think it's okay to share it on the air. This is operating inside a universe where, like, the world will explode if you don't get one of the top four wide receivers in the draft, and I don't think that that's true.
It's not the case.
I really like a lot of receivers in this draft.
Not only do I like a lot of receivers in this draft, I think that the depth at the other positions is significantly thinner, to the point where if you have a first round pick, I would go use it on a couple other positions if your guy is not there. And that's not to say, like, if CeeDee Lamb's there at 16, you go and make the trade or
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Do
but
what you got to do.
If your guy's not there and you feel comfortable staying at 21, they've got a couple other directions they could go in.
Well, positional scarcity is the way to draft. Like, that's true in fantasy football, that's true in actual football. Like, for example, If you play in a one quarterback fantasy league, you have literally no excuse whatsoever for taking a quarterback in the first round of the draft. Like, absolutely none. I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, whoever it is, it's insane. The reason why is because if you're playing in a 10 or 12 person league, the difference between the 12th best quarterback and the first best quarterback is probably not that significant. Relative to if you get the number one tight end versus the number 12 tight end. Or the number one wide receiver versus the number 12 wide receiver, right? There's going to be big differences there. That's why it's important. So, okay, let's all agree that we like Ruggs, we like Lamb, we like Judy, and we like Jefferson, right? You might not like all of them. Fine. Just pretend that you do and go with me there. There are also guys in the second round and in the third round that you could get who, reasonably speaking, could do a decent impression, especially considering the marginal changes that the Eagles have to make. What I mean by marginal changes, right? Pretend that you've got a Mr. Olympia candidate and, like, somebody on my 700-pound life, okay? And they're both deciding they're going to get into better shape. The my 700-pound life guy will see dramatic improvement, and he does not need to eat, like, chicken and broccoli and stuff like that. It's put down the corn dogs and put down the donuts and stuff like that and just walk outside, and you will see a dramatic difference in what happens, because that's a marginal change and you have further to go. Relative to a Mr. Olympia candidate who's trying to drop from 6% body fat to 3% body fat for a big shoot or something like that, you have to be literally measuring out every single element of every part of your life, whether it's food, workouts, conditioning, all that kind of stuff, because you've already come a long way and you get diminishing returns. What does this have to do with the Eagles? The Eagles wide receiving core stinks out loud. It's terrible. Any infusion of talent will make a dramatic difference. If you have literally anyone out there who is not J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Nelson Agholor level talent, then you're going to see a dramatic improvement. So what's if you get, I don't know, Jalen Reagor, probably going to really like what you see. If you get Justin Jefferson, heck, I'm not even a big T. Higgins guy. If you get T. Higgins in the second round, it's going to be a dramatic improvement over what you have. So it's not all about, like, if you don't get CeeDee Lamb or you don't get Henry Ruggs, the whole thing is a failure. The Eagles wide receiving core is so bad that any kind of improvement will make a dramatic impact on what that unit looks like as a core. Tyler, I know I took the scenic route. Did I bring it home? Did we make it there?
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
It's not getting the number one or two or three guy is impactful for sure. Getting guys 6, 7, or 8 in the second round is also impactful, assuming they're not a second J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Right.
Who, by the way, was not guy 6, 7, or 8. He was probably guy 12.
Yeah. A guy, by the way, in the draft, I was like, that's kind of interesting. I'm surprised that the Eagles took him as high as they did. But I kind of liked him as a player in the third round.
Well, and especially after what we all thought was, I mean, even a guy like myself who thought there was better running backs available, what we all assumed was a pretty safe home run pick. I don't know how they can be safe and home run at the same time, but they are in Miles Sanders.
Right. Yes. How much we've learned since then. Shane in Wilmington's next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Shane.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you been? I haven't talked to you recently.
Welcome back.
To your show a little bit, but first time caller, man. How you been? Thank you.
I appreciate that. Been great. Been quarantined, social distancing, all that other kind of good stuff, but we're making it through.
Good times, man. Get in your video games and catch up on the TV, but let's talk a little bit of draft. I was curious why you guys think... guys like CeeDee Lamb, who has like a Corey Davis type look to him, and Henry Ruggs would be drafted so highly when, like, all before this and other mock drafts, up until the most recent one, the Mel Kiper release, those guys were both picked in the, you know, early 20s, late teens, like 19, and now they're moving up the draft for need from these other teams when they also have other needs other than wide receiver. I wonder why you think the Eagles wouldn't have more interest in, like, just the top two guys, Jefferson and Judy. Those guys make sense, and to move up for them, totally agree with you. But the other two, you don't think that's reachy, especially reaching up and moving up like that?
Well,
in your future?
It's a worthwhile question to ask, Shannon, and here's what I'll say. I think that you've seen, like, John Ross is a perfect example of this. John Ross
yes.
is a guy that, like, people
yes.
thought of as, like, a mid-20s pick, but you run like that, and then all of a sudden you're not a mid-20s pick. You are a top 10, top 15 at the worst pick. I think that that's the case for both CeeDee Lamb and Henry Ruggs.
Okay. Well, then, if the Eagles don't go wide receiver, what direction do you think they take? I'm hoping offensive lineman, somebody falls from the teens, or defensive lineman, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I'm curious your response, man. Let me know. Thanks.
Yeah, Shane, you got it, man. Thanks a lot. I would like to see two positions, one of which they if they don't draft a wide receiver, almost certainly will do. And one, you can bet your house that they will not do. Offensive line is great. I am always a big fan. We talk about positional scarcity. The difference between a first-round lineman and, like, usually a fourth-round lineman is so dramatic. That's what makes getting, like, Jason Kelce and Jason Peters so remarkable, because it's literally like seeing a unicorn. It never happens that way, where you get multiple-time Pro Bowlers who are in the sixth round or later when it comes to that. So I wouldn't mind offensive line. And that's where the Eagles live, by the way. They love to draft offensive line. What they won't do is draft a linebacker, which would also help out big time. I get it. I understand that you're seeing players retire quote-unquote early, whatever that means. I don't know what retiring early is anymore in the NFL. It seems like stuff like this is becoming the norm. But, like, you see the impact that a guy like, we talked about Ryan Shazier or Luke Kuechly or Patrick Willis, like what these guys did to the defenses that they played on, transformative stuff. I'd like to see them do that. There are some really good linebackers in this draft. They won't. There's no way. There's no way the Eagles draft a linebacker in the first round. They might draft a linebacker at some point. 610-632-0975. Ari and Warminster's next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ari? Ari. Oh, no. Ari's got us on mute. Let's go to Douglas in Vineland next on 97.5. Hey, Douglas.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. I wanted to know, Jason Peters is still out there on the market. Is anybody going to pick him up?
It's a good question. I think that he will eventually sign with someone. I'm not sure whether it would be the Eagles or not. I think that ship's kind of sailed.
Okay. I just wanted to know. Thank you.
Yep. You got it, Douglas. That was it. Short, sweet, and to the point. We're going to have Ari lead off our extended commercial-free segment next. Ari, sit tight. We'll get you right on first on the other side, and then it can be you. 610-632-0975. The Eagles telegraph what they're doing too much at wide receiver. Are they locked into trading up? And if so, I think that that could be a perilous situation for them, considering kind of the embarrassment of riches that we have at wide receiver, quite frankly, in this draft. It is the Joe Torti Show. Tyler Zuli is producing. We are hanging out until 10 o'clock. Keep it locked right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.